Okay.
All righty. Well, praise be to God. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call today for our service to our Master and our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. He's brought us to a brand new week. Let's just try to enclose our minds, no matter what we're doing, what we're going through, what has already happened in this day. Let's just bring our mind and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to just captivate our hearts, that we will come to a service unto God, for we were truly created to serve Him. And it is all about Him and not about us. But we know that He cares for all of our needs in spite of what we are dealing with right now or what we will deal with in the future. He cares about us. He loved us so much that He made preparation for us for eternal life. But He cares about the here and now. So let's go to our Father who has given us many blessings. He's given us life and He's given it to us abundantly. Father, we come this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, thanking you. Thanking you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, that you have not dealt with us in the way that we deserve, but yet, Lord, you have shown mercy and favor in our lives. You've healed us when we've been sick. You delivered us from danger and harm. You protected and shielded us, Father, and we thank you for it, Father. Lord, even though we may be going through difficulties, you are still in control of those difficulties. And Lord, we know you love us because, Father, you've proven it time and time again. The life that we have, the breath that we breathe, it all belongs to you, Father. So we submit our wills to you right now. And we ask that, Lord, you would come on in to our service, Father, to the service of you. We come to serve you, Father. So come into this service, Father. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds. Cleanse our every thought, Lord, that is not pure and not focused on you. Let distractions not have its grip on our hearts, our minds, our ears today. But let your word fill our soul. Strengthen us, Lord God. From the core, Lord God, that we are. Strengthen us, Lord, that we may serve you in spirit and truth. Lord. That, Lord, your will be done. And that, Lord, everyone on this call will receive what you have for them to receive. Let us not be rushed. But Lord, let us not rush out of what you have for us. Lord, let's we just ask that you would take over the word that will be read, the word that will be talked over, the word that will be preach, whatever way you bring it, Father. Take over it, Lord. Take over Jeanette. Decrease her, Father, and increase your spirit in her and through her. Help Alexandra, Lord. Bless her, Father. Guide her, Lord God, as she reads. Give her all the understanding. So, Lord, not that she's just reading, but she's understanding and receiving your spirit as she reads what you have for us to hear.
Yes, good.
Then, Lord, open our ears, Lord, to hear clearly. Not what we think, but what your spirit that dwells in us, Lord God, that will receive what you have for us. Then, Lord, we pray, Lord, that it would penetrate our hearts to be a workman, not ashamed of your word and your calling for us, Lord, but be diligently in doing what we need to do. Lord, we thank you today. We praise you today. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for those that will call in still. And for those that will listen to this call, Lord, that they will be blessed and that they will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in 2 Samuel, and we're talking about King David. And last week, what I'm going to recap is that David has fallen into a sin. And it's a serious sin of adultery, but we talked about how David had just had such a mighty victory where he came against the Syrians and they fled and he had victory with the Ammonites and Philistines. And he's at the top of his game. I want you to get that picture. Because a lot of times when we're at the top of our game, we forget what's most important or how we got there.
Amen.
David is now at the top of his game. He's so on top of the game that he doesn't even have to go to work. You know, when you've built an army or you've built a business or you've done so well that going to work has now become an option. So he's not working today. He's took the time off and he's resting while the armies are still out there. They're still out there battling, finishing up some work that they were doing at the end of last year, and then the weather turned bad. So they decided, we'll finish this up in spring. But Joab, you know, he's a mighty warrior. He's more than capable of handling this. And David just finished hard work and battle. So he says, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go out there and stand with the people doing the work. A lot of times when we're at the top of our game and we've reached a place of rest, we can work or not work. We can lose sight of why we work.
Amen. Amen.
So here is David. David has decided not to go where he needs to go, and he's on the top of his roof. I want you to get the visual. In the Middle East and the Eastern cultures, the top of the roof is flat. So it's the perfect place to be early in the morning and in the evening. It's the most desirable spot of the house because of the cool breezes. And the region we're talking about gets pretty hot. So he's taken his afternoon, we call it a siesta, and now he's looking out his window and he sees Bathsheba. I want to ask this question. Do you think this is the first time that he had seen Bathsheba?
Probably not. Probably not.
I'm going to say probably not too. Because remember, his palace or his home was built on the top of the mountain of Zion as king. So if he's on the roof of his house, he can look down on the roofs of everybody else's house. He has the bird's eye view of Jerusalem. Now, there's nowhere in Scripture that indicates that he had been eyeballing Bathsheba prior, but it's not too far of an assumption to think he had certainly seen her before. And I'm going to tell you something else about Bathsheba. She is the grandson, it's believed, it's not proven, but they believe she was possibly the granddaughter of Adonijah. You don't know who he is yet, but you're going to see who he is later because David's choices have long-lasting consequences. So if Adonijah is actually her grandfather, then you're going to make sense what happens later on down the line. First thing I want to bring up, before David got to the top of the game, remember all of the psalms of the Lord, please deliver me, please help. And then as things got better for him, I want to read quickly Psalms 24:4. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? This is David's words. This is only a few years earlier. Who may stand in his holy presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear deceitfully. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from the God. Somebody must press a pin. So here we have it in Psalms, because David's the writer of most of the songs in Psalms, and he's talking about that his hands are clean, that his hands are clean before the Lord, that his heart is pure before the Lord. Does anybody on this call remember, some of you may, when you first were called to was saved, how on fire you were for the Lord.
Mm.
How excited you were about walking this walk. But then if God's blessings come in, and I can attest to this, as his blessings just pour in and pour in, because he said he would bless those who are living, you know, under the statutes of him. So God just blesses and blesses, but as he blesses, sometimes we start losing sight of where these blessings came from. Now, if you were to ask David, David would say all the right things.
Amen.
God has delivered me, God this, God that. God has delivered the kingdom into my hands. God has this, God has that. Because we never seem to forget the rhetoric. But is it still what's in our heart?
Or in today's, it would be called church language.
Yeah, as Richard said, today would be church language. Could you hear him okay?
Yes.
Okay,
I could.
Okay, because I can't tell but you're on the, anyway. Now, we go to James 1, verse 15. And it's going to start at 14. And all the way in James now, we've skipped all the way from Samuel, about 4,000 years into James, the early church, the brother of Jesus Christ, who has now been resurrected. And James says, but each one is tempted by his own evil desires. He is lured away and enticed. Now, this is powerful. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I'm gonna dissect that just a little bit because it's too powerful to that's it. Each one is tempted by his own evil desires. He is lured away and enticed. Everyone's evil desires are not the same.
Amen. Amen.
One person might struggle with lust. Someone else might struggle with power. Someone else might struggle with riches. Evil desires, things that are attached to this world that lead to sin. So all of us are capable of being lured away, correct?
Amen.
Yes.
And we're seeing this in the story of David. David, just years later, had written all these beautiful songs of praise, beautiful songs of praise, thanksgiving, honoring God. And now, God has brought him from a mighty long way, has set him in a high place, has blessed him abundantly, and now he's being drawn away by his own evil desires. Is there anybody that can relate to that, that has had that kind of a problem? Where you started out, when you look back on your life and you say, I've been walking with God a long time, can you look back on your life and see that there's times in your life where you're being dragged or you deviated after
Amen.
All of this confession
yes.
of I love the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Singing his praises. And then you look over a period of your life and where was God in any of that?
Mm-hmm.
We were out chasing the world and what the world had to offer. And before you know it, though you're still behaving in a certain manner, it seems, your heart is far from him.
Amen.
Is that to say that when you first started out with the Lord, you weren't sincere? Of course not. You couldn't be more sincere. But it doesn't take much. Now, how does this happen? How does then the desire is conceived? In other words, you've accepted that this is what's important to you. It doesn't have to be a conscious thought. It's your behavior will tell you what's important to you. You don't have to say, well, I don't remember conceiving a sinful thought. Your behavior will tell you what is important to you.
Hmm.
What you are doing, what you are chasing, what has become an idol for you.
Hmm.
And when you say, well, you know, you don't correct it. Remember how long we talked about correcting thoughts at the door? Well, if it goes uncorrected, You don't recognize this has become more important to you than God himself. This is more important to you than your relationship. This, you know, let me give you a couple of clues as to when you know something is probably taking a place in your heart that it should not. That thing becomes more important to you than even people.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
You will leave your children. You will leave your husband. You will leave your wife over this thing. You will carve out all kinds of time for this thing, but have no time for the people that God has placed in your life. It's easy to see when we get caught up in jobs or in success or in this or that. Next thing you know, we're working more hours. We're doing more. And it isn't even because it's necessary. It's because it's in your heart now. Once the desire has been conceived, that means it has gone from your mind to just something that you were thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been conceived. It's being born in you. It's being born in you. No longer an entity outside of you. It's being born in you. It's conceived. Once that happens, it finally gives birth to sin. And when sin is finished, in other words, gives birth to sin, what does it mean? It means that what is born, what you have ingested in you has now taken such a strong root that it's going to manifest itself.
Yes, Lord.
Once it manifests itself, it gives birth to sin. Here's what I have conceived is now visible. Now everybody can see it. Let me tell you something else. Not only can everybody see it, but often you still can't.
Yes, amen. Oh.
You still can't see it. Everybody looking at you can see what your idol is. Everybody looking at you can see what's important to you. I'll give an example that's easy to relate to, but probably no one on this call particularly is struggling with it. But say your theme was nightclubs, and you're willing to leave your kids at home alone so you can go out and party. Why are you willing to jeopardize the safety of your children over, why do you put your kids in a situation where they don't have any kind of guidance? That's an easy one. We can look at everyone else and see that. But what about the things that are our struggles, where we shut out the whole world because this is more important? Like I said, you want to know what is taking the place of God in your life? Take a look at what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen.
So it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, what do you think that looks like? Somebody on the call, help me out. What do you think sin full grown might look like?
I think it's
a person
like
with no conscience.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yep.
Wow, that nailed it. A person with no conscience.
No conscience.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That means there's absolutely no conviction taking place at all. You've become so comfortable in what you've given birth to and nurturing that you don't even see anything else wrong with it or anything wrong with it. But when it first entered your mind, you did.
Amen.
Wasn't like you were without when it entered your mind, just like David here. David knew when he was looking on that woman that he shouldn't even be looking at her. Don't tell me he didn't have the warnings. But he decided to look anyway. And then look some more and look a little longer. Then comes the desire. Now what I'm looking at is what I want. and look to the low that it took him. Sin produces death. Not only in David's case did it produce physical death, but it's death to our testimony, it's death to our walk, it's death. A lot of people are dying right now, but they don't seem to know it. People got to say, for example, a drug or alcohol problem. They're dying right before you. They're committing suicide right before you. It's just a slow suicide. People that are smoking, they know good and well that every time they take a puff, they're trashing their body a little bit more till it triggers, till it gives birth to cancer. Till it gives birth to sclerosis of the liver. Then death is on the table. But they didn't do it overnight, did they? Because God tarries with us. He is patient with us. He gives us time to rethink that.
Amen.
Knows we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Amen.
He said we're like sheep, easily led astray, easily. Now, when we see somebody as mighty as David, David the warrior, David the shepherd boy that God chose because he found something special in the heart of David, a love for him in the heart of David. Mm-hmm. So if David can fall, who are we?
Amen.
So we're going to go on. So David and Bathsheba, we know what happens there. David ends up, we talked about it last week, he ends up plotting to get Uriah, one of his top men and most faithful warriors. He plots to get him killed because he tried to trick him into sleeping with his wife, but Uriah was too faithful for that. God, is it living in a tent? The other men are sleeping on the ground, and I'm going to be in there having sex with my wife? I don't think so. Too faithful for that. So once that ended, David, now, what else happens with sin? Once the sin gives birth, it can be quickly exposed. People can start seeing it in you. You can look at a person sometimes and say, oh, he's not really with her anymore. Well, that's his wife. They've been married 20 years. Yeah, but you can tell by the way you can just tell he's not with her anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell she's doing something a little different. Watch her. Everybody around you can see what you think is not visible. And David has done everything to hide it. Not only is the sin of what he's done, the adultery, and now we've compounded it now, right? Now it's not just adultery. Now it's adultery and what? Murder.
Murder.
Because once we get exposed, a lot of times we will do anything we can to hide it. He's trying to not get Bathsheba, her life taken from her, because they would definitely kill you for something like that. So Bathsheba's life is on the line, and David's reputation and his everything's on the line. Isn't that funny how the devil does that? He didn't tell you all that when you were looking at her from the roof, did he?
Not at all.
Okay. Amen.
He doesn't tell you what it's going to cost you.
Right.
He's giving you example after example. A person will say, well, I don't know what adultery, I can get away with this. I don't know what the adultery really costs. Read your word, you'd have known what it costs. I'm not even going to harp on adultery because it's any sin that you have in your life that you've made more important than your relationship with God. And then it leads to other sins. The next sin comes out after murder is all this deception. What does God say about deception? Put away, 1 Peter 2:1, put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Colossians 3:9-10, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Faithful are the words of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy, says Proverbs 27:6. This is penned by Solomon, David's son. Faithful are the words of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. I wonder if he was thinking of his dad when that happened, when he wrote those words, as his dad was building Uriah up and trying to get him drunk, giving him all these accolades, you're such a great warrior, all the while trying to get him drunk so he'd sleep with his wife to cover up what he's doing behind his back. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, these things happen. This is in 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. These things happen to them as an example, and they are written to our instruction upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. This is a warning to every one of us. If you think that you're strong, if you think that you got this, you're walking in your calling. God is with you. Do not think for one minute. Be careful, because that is when you fall. Take heed. He who thinks he is standing, take heed, because that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but such that is common to man, and God is faithful. In other words, every single temptation that you have been faced with is common to other people. Other people have had the temptation too. Not all people, but other people.
Amen.
So what is he really saying there? He's saying that not that the very temptation you're faced with, others have been faced with, and you can fall easier than you think. And I'm gonna bring up one more thing about how God feels about all this deceit. Because I'm going to say something else. A lot of Christians don't take their lying tongue very seriously. They think that if it's a little lie or it's not a big deal or it's, you know, they think that that's not something they have to over-concern themselves with. It's just a little lie. Hey, we all lie. We all sin. We all this. We all that. All of a sudden, it's a big blanket. This is what the Lord says about it. Behold, the wicked man travails with evil. He conceives trouble and births falsehoods. Genuine righteousness leads to life, but the pursuit of evil brings death. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed blood. A heart that deceives, that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Should I read that again?
Yes.
Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, in other words, the pride. Is this call still on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you went away there for a moment.
Yeah, my phone's doing funny stuff for some reason. Full signal. That's the average. Okay. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. David has found himself in a place where he's probably good 5 out of 7. Of these things penned out by his son Solomon years later. But we all know what God requires. Even in the heart of every man, we know what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil. You don't have to be a Christian to know what is right and wrong. So when you hear somebody say, oh yeah, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible, perhaps you didn't. But right and wrong towards one another is innate. We know that you don't want anything stolen from you, correct?
Amen.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me you don't know that it's wrong to steal from somebody else. Okay, Exandra, we're going to go forward finally. And let's pick it up in chapter 12. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 12.
Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem day.
Go to chapter 12, Exandra.
Oh, 12. I'm sorry. I thought you meant 11, 12. No problem. Sorry. Chapter 12. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it and grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb 4 times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anoint you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judea. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this, you have shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill.
Let's stop there for a second. I want us to feel and really grasp the gravity of what happened here.
Yes.
What he thought was hidden wasn't hidden from the eyes of God. And because we don't physically see God, you should see it in every tree that bends in the wind. You should see it in every leaf. You should see it in every blade of grass, in the stars, in the sky. But for some reason, we don't physically see God as we do one another. So because he thought that it wasn't seen, it seemed as though he was getting away with it. But God.
Yeah.
God sees everything. He sees what we're doing in private. There's no privacy with God. There's no shutting the door and saying it's my business what I'm watching on TV. Nobody knows. I'm not harming anybody. It's my business what kind of stuff I'm putting in my body that's destroying it. But it's making me feel good. But I know it's trashing my vessel. It's my business. It's my body. Well, here God sends Nathan the prophet. And Nathan gives him a story. And I find it interesting how he constructed this story of the rich man who comes to town and takes the other man's sheep. First of all, the rich man had sheep of his own. And mind you, he wasn't taking the sheep for some, you know, very big, momentous occasion. He was taking the sheep for a man who was walking through. Just some random person that he decides he's going to, you know, but I ain't taking my sheep to give to him. Wandering man. I'm not going to take what I have to help the poor, but I'll take what you give me to help the poor. Matter of fact, I'll take from you guys to give to. How many times have we seen that? I've seen it where you have a pastor who's driving a Rolls Royce, but wringing money out of the people they don't have to help a poor person that says, my lights are being turned off. So he's not going to take from what he has, as David wasn't going to take. David already had wives. You have been blessed so abundantly. It's what the Lord is illustrating through this, through Nathan the prophet. And yet that's not enough for you. You're going to start desiring something that doesn't belong to you and belongs to a man that's all he has. You have 1,000 sheep. And this man has one.
Yeah.
You have as many wives as you want. This man has one. And you're going to take it from him. And David, uproar. What? That man shall surely die. It's funny how when it's your sin, you don't see it. But how fast we can become judgmental of someone else. I find that really astounding. David could see the injustice in this right away. You should die for this. That man, whoever he is, find that rich man. He needs to die. But when you're doing your little nasty dirt, hidden, nobody knows about, whole different, Matter of fact, you're pronouncing death on somebody and you don't even recognize.
that you're pronouncing death on yourself, because it's exactly what you just did. Mm. Remember, we talked about judging. Judge not that you be not judged, for whatever judgment you meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be careful. This is King David, and King David did not even recognize that the story being told was his. He didn't recognize that the judgment that he was casting on this hypothetical rich man was judgment he was casting on himself. Again and again, I urge you, children of the living God, be careful when you want to point your finger and judge. What made it a judgment? He condemned the man.
Amen.
Be careful, because you might be condemning yourself. And you might be condemning yourself right down the road. What do I mean by that? I mean that just because you haven't fallen into that sin today doesn't mean you won't fall into it tomorrow.
Amen.
And when you have judged people that have failed in that temptation so harshly, what do you think you've laid out on the waters that's going to come back? The same judgment. What did he say? Just because, we read it earlier, just because you feel like you're above that, you feel like you're firmly standing, you would never fall, doesn't mean you won't. He says, be careful that you don't fall, which means when you get proud and sure, that's the very time the adversary attacks. Because you're not expecting it. You've already overcome this. I've already overcome that. I've been walking with the Lord. I've been saved 30 years.
Hmm.
Next thing you know, you're caught in a sin you would have never thought you could be caught in.
Amen.
Again, and again I say, offer grace and mercy.
Yes.
What is beautiful in this story is David's response. Because I'm going to say this, just because you have deviated or you have fallen in an area or you, you know, have failed at a task, that doesn't define you.
I'll
say that again. Just because you have fallen in an area, you have failed, you took a mighty fall, it doesn't define you. That does not mean that you have to be, in David's case, an adulterer and a murderer for the rest of your life. Excuse me. This was a defining moment for David right here. When God calls you out, whether it's in a sermon, whether it's in his word, whether it's in a song you hear, when God calls you out on something, listen to David's response. I have sinned against the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
David did not offer explanation.
Mm-hmm.
He did not start backing up and saying, wait a minute, what do you mean? I did what? What are you talking about? I did that how? I didn't take nobody's sheep. I did that how? Are you sure God's telling you this? Instead, David sets for us yet another example. I have sinned against the Lord. And what is immediate response from the Lord? It's so beautiful, and we miss it. The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.
Amen.
Wow. Mercy. What do we see here? We see
mercy.
That when we cut the game, when we come honest before the throne, we don't offer explanation. We don't offer excuses. Well, this isn't an excuse. It's just the reason why. Well, she came after me, or he was coming after me, and at the time I just was this and I was that. How about no excuses? No, I have sinned against the Lord. And immediately the Lord forgives him. Immediately. This is the prophet talking. The Lord also has put away your sin. Now he says, you will not die, but he did not say there will not be consequences.
Amen.
Yes.
The consequences will not be the death that you deserve.
Hmm.
But there will be consequences, and it will be the death of this child. What was bred in sin will not make it, because it's part of the sin. It's all part of the sin. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. We will take up David's reaction to that next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Any comments? I want to leave this open. We have a few minutes left for any comments. Anything that stands out to you, that or questions that you may have?
Yeah, I have a question, Terry. I was able to stay. Anything bred in sin? I mean, lots of babies are conceived in sin. So I want you to talk about that. Explain it maybe next week if there's no time today.
We have a minute. I can go over that. Number one, we are not living under the law. Number two, most of this, something's really like this bad air in my car or something.
Okay.
Number two, we fall and we're in sin and we have children out of wedlock. All of this happens. And God is ready and willing to forgive. In this case with David, something had to die. We're not talking about the New Testament. Jesus died for our sins. And we're covered. David, on the other hand, was still at bring a bull, bring a goat, this, that, and the other.
Okay.
Bring a dove. Something has to die.
Mm.
And the consequence of taking somebody else's
wife
was great. Not just because it was somebody else's wife, because don't think adultery wasn't rampant back then too, but because it was King David, who God had entrusted so much to and given so much. So all of these are the circumstances that weigh on what is going to be the consequence of what you've done.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I like the part that you said about when you realize or you understand you are in sin, that just don't make excuses. Just come clean and ask the Lord, acknowledge that I have sinned and ask for forgiveness now and move on. I'm supposed to come up with, well, I was born that way, or my such and such was like this, and so I'm like this. We are not to use those excuses. Let me say it that way, because God already knows, and the best thing to do is just to come clean, and God will deal with that, and we'll have consequences, but we can move forward because of God and Jesus dying in our place.
Yes.
That sin that David did by taking Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, was so egregious to God that part of the judgment that came to his household, which we are going to experience, was just so hard that David's wives would be exploited in front of all of Israel. You took this one man's wife and did it behind closed doors. Somebody close to you is going to do your wives in front of all of Israel. Wow. What I want to urge you to do is understand that we serve a mighty God, and understand that there really are consequences, even though he is a God of grace and mercy.
Yes.
He offers much grace, much mercy.
Praise God.
But there are still consequences.
Yes.
Start thinking about consequences. Look through the word. Learn like you're learning right now about what it looks like. Something that didn't seem that big a deal, but it turned from just sex with somebody into murder. From murder to great deceit.
Yeah.
And God.
I have another question. Are we, to Richard's point, when we confess, do we have to confess to the person or to God?
His word. And I want somebody to volunteer to close us in prayer.
Oh.
And any prayer requests, let it be known.
Prayer request, Exandra would like to, whoever's going to pray us out, to ask Father God to give all of us discernment about the sin in our lives, a.k.a. making things idols that's such subtle but can be monstrumental. So I ask for that for all of us in the closing prayer request. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Linda's finances.
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
Anyone
else?
Unique's maturity, my daughter's maturity.
Yes. Amen.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Name.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes.
Anyone else? All righty, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful, Father, that you're right here with us. We thank you for your word that we've heard today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because we know your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, we know that your word will guide us and direct us. It causes us to think and to ponder as to how we shall live now. And, Father, as Exandrus asked, Lord, let us search ourselves. Lord, or you search us, Father. If there's anything in us, Lord, that we are unaware of, and those things that we are aware of, Lord, reveal them, Lord, to our hearts and to our minds right now, Lord. And we ask that you would please, Lord, let us not turn away from it and give excuses to it. But, Lord, let us acknowledge that what it is sin and is not pleasing to you. And, Lord, help us with your Holy Spirit to not to go back and give it birth again, Lord. But let us cast it away from us, cast it out of us. Lord, I ask today that you would please have your way in all of us on this call and all that will hear this call. Have your way in our lives, Father. Forgive us for our unrighteousness. Forgive us for those things that we've made idols that we may not be aware of. Lord, please, Father, reveal it to us all. Lord, because we want to be clean and holy because you are holy and you are pure, and we too want to be that way. Because one day, Father, we want to hear those words, good and faithful servant, job well done. So, Father, we want to be pure as you are pure. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to do just that. Then, Lord, I pray for Linda, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know her finances. You know you are the provider of all prosperity, all wealth, all money belongs to you. Everything in this universe is yours. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just take that concern that she has for it, that need that she has for it, and pour out from heaven financial blessings into her life so she can be a blessing to others in that very area right now that she has a need of, Lord God. So, Lord, we're asking for Linda, Lord, that you would rain down a financial blessing to her, that, Lord, you would make her a blessing to others. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus right now, thanking you for it, Father, receiving it in Jesus' name, that you would do it, Lord, today. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray for my dear sister, Terry, and her daughter, Lord. Lord, that you would please, Lord, grow her up maturity in your word, Father, first and foremost. Give her a hunger for your word and an understanding of your word, Lord God.
Amen.
Grow her spiritually and physically, Lord God. Will you please do it today, Father? Lord, we thank you because, Father, we know you can do all things, but we're laying her at your feet right now, Lord God, in prayer and asking, Father, for that maturity that she needs to have that we can see and you know greater than we do. So, Lord, do it today. We're asking in the name of Jesus for that deliverance,
for that fulfillment of what she needs today to take place. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you for Jeanette for bringing forth the word, Lord. Let your word continue to just fill us and wash us and bathe us and cleanse us, that, Lord, we can go out into the world to do what you want done. Not in just the world, but in our homes and the privacy of our own closet, Lord God. Let us live holy and righteous. Then, Lord, I pray for my brother Terrell, Lord. I pray that you continue to bring that healing in his life that he needs, physically, Lord, and spiritually, Lord. Help him, Father, in those hours where he's lonely. Help him in those hours where he's wondering what I should do next. Lord, give him that wisdom and that knowledge and understanding. Grant him that favor, Father, today. Would you please, Father?
Yes,
we're
Father,
thanking
please.
You for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, oh, Lord, for Fran, Lord, pray that you will continue to heal her, guide her, direct her, Lord. Lead Fran, Father, in the way you want her to go. Thank you, Father, for where Fran has come from and where you're taking her, Lord God. Let her be the beacon light in her family, Lord, that you've called her to be, Lord.
Yes.
Let her live boldly for you, Father, that others want to know what it is about her, Lord, that she can tell the good news of who you are and what you've done for her and what you will do for others. Lord, thank you for Fran, Father. Thank you for her faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for Xander. Continue to bless her. And Lord, continue to strengthen her as she walks this walk of faith. Help her, Father, to see that's no condemnation in Christ. Whatever has happened has happened, Lord. But, Lord, you can carry her and guide her in the way you want her to go. Lord, we thank you for her, Father. Thank you for her faithfulness. Thank you for the mercy and kindness that you've shown and you will show not only her, but her children and her husband and all that's in her life, Lord. And her mother, Lord, continue to guide and direct them all, Lord God. Help Alexandra, Lord, to do what you want done. Give her peace. Give her wisdom. Give her understanding. Most of all, Father, give her continuous a hunger for you, Father. For, Lord, she loves you, Lord. Let us all be a servant unto you as we pour out the love that you've given to us to others. Thank you for her, Father. Bless her, Lord, and bless others who will listen to this call. Lord, we thank you, Father, for Tammy. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. We thank you, Father, what's going on in her life. Lord, I pray that you continue to bring Tammy guidance and direction. Give her peace, Father, where she hasn't had it. Lord, grant her favor today, Lord. Take away the heaviness that's been in her heart. Fill it with a joy that the world cannot give her and the world cannot take away. Lord, please do it today. Bless Jordan, Lord God. Help him to grow up strong in you, Lord God. Help him to see the righteousness of you as you reveal it through Tammy, Lord, that he would want to know more and more about you because of his grandmother. Lord, we thank you for them. Then bless our children, Lord. Oh, Lord, no matter what they're dealing with, what they're going through, Lord, you are greater than all circumstances in all situations. Grant it, Lord, today. Grant them the deliverance, Lord, and your favor in their lives. Turn them away from where they have been. Bring them into the knowledge of you, Lord. Lord, we're asking as your children, Lord, that you would do it today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for our dear sister Jessica, Lord, that, Lord, you would bless her. Thank you for bringing her home safe today. Thank you for bringing her into another beginning of life with you, Lord, in this place, Lord. You have work for her, Lord. Give her guidance. Give her directions. Give her the understanding and the pathway you want her to go, Father. Oh, Lord, thank you for preparing a table before her in the presence of all of our enemies, Lord, that she shall not worry. She shall not faint. She shall not get tired. Oh, Lord, she doesn't have nothing to be weary over, Father, for you are guiding and directing her. And let her continue to cling to you, Lord, and to your word. Lord, we thank you for our sister. And we pray that you continue to strengthen her, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Lord, today. Oh, Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Sheba, Lord God, who's on the call and may be calling in or may have listened to the call. Bless Sheba, Lord. Bless us, son. Bless Akaya, Lord. Continue to strengthen them, Lord, all, Lord. We pray, Father, for Sheba and her direction and the pathway you want Sheba to go, Lord God. Oh, Lord, thank you for what she's doing. She's committing her life to you, Lord, and she's dealing with things that only you and she know, Lord God. Give her strength and give her favor. Oh, Lord, keep your angels around Akaya, Lord God. Bless him today and guide and direct him. Keep him, Father, in your loving arms. Let not Satan have his way in their lives, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that you will build a fence around them and protect them all in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for others who may listen, Lord. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Have a blessed week, family.
All right. Talk to you guys.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless. See you next time.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Richard. Have a blessed day.